The title of the message today is How to Have a Happy New Year. How to Have a Happy New Year. I'll tell you, 2020 has certainly been a challenging year, certainly been something. It's been challenging for me and likely for many of you. I was so weary and continue to be over the political wars that are going on every day in Washington, D.C., but not just in Washington, D.C., much of the world as well. And I just, this China virus, this COVID plague has caused such fear and a lot of death in our country as well. It has thrown millions of people out of work because of the crazy liberals who are shutting everything down. And my heart goes out to them with all these lockdowns. Many cities, as we've seen through 2020, because of Black Lives Matter and Antifa and others as well, their cities have been looted and burned, and that has even been encouraged. And my heart aches for all the law enforcement officials. They got like a target painted on their back, and there's so many of them that have been shot at and even killed in the violence. And not to mention, I have no idea. I walked the street there in Nashville that was blown up. Thankfully, they don't think anybody, I mean, there's somebody who died because they've seen some human remains there, but they don't know whether it was the bomber or what else. But we live in a violent time. Murder, abortion, rape, drugs, rebellion, divorce is out of control in our country. So the question is, how can happiness be squeezed into all of this? How can happiness be squeezed into all of this? Well, what would it require for you to attain genuine happiness in 2021? Now, before I really tackle that, because I've pondered that as I prepared this message, what is happiness? My dictionary says that happiness is a feeling or showing pleasure or contentment. Well, that's not biblical happiness, but that is a good description of the happiness that most people look at. Most people base their happiness now. You think about this. Most people base their happiness on happenings that they experience. They have an outward orientation of what makes them happy. And people who live on this level really are never going to be genuinely happy because their happiness has highs, and then the next moment you plunge down to the lows and you're unhappy. And so you don't really have genuine happiness when that is connected to outward circumstances. So I don't want you to have that focus in 2021. 2020 certainly has been a challenging time, but true happiness, and I'm talking about happiness that is inside, true happiness does not come from outward circumstances. It comes from a heart that is at peace with God. I'm thinking of two passages of Scripture. The first one is Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7. It says, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." And then if you'll think back with me to the Old Testament, to Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3, "Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." Well, happiness that comes from the heart is based upon being at peace with God and having the peace of God in our lives. I just don't really believe that unsaved people can find real happiness in their events, because I believe that real happiness is in the person, and I believe that that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's a list that I put together, and it certainly isn't comprehensive, but it's a list of things that will bring happiness in 2021. Now, looking over the congregation, I hope that the first one you have, knowing Christ as your Savior. David said, blessed, and if you look up that word blessed, it means happy or to be contented with God. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Wow. What a joy to be free from our sin debt. Romans chapter 3 and verse 24, it says this, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. If you're saved, then you should be happy that your sins have been forgiven and that they have been erased from your account. The believer will never see those sins again. Amen. I think of Psalm 103, verse 12. When I think of that, is say it with me if you know it. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. I remember the day that I finally got that. I didn't always get it. But you start traveling east on a globe. I was going to bring that globe in, but you start traveling east on a globe, and what's going to happen? You're going to keep going east and east and east and east. You, for eternity, you just go east. As far as the east is from the west, you start going west on the globe. And, man, I am happy. I will never face my sins again in relationship to salvation and judgment. Now, sin can break our fellowship with the Lord. That's why we can confess. If we confess our sins, he is what? Faithful and just to forgive us our sin. But in relationship to judgment, my sins are gone, and that makes me happy. I just think of this. I was thinking about having hands raised, but some of us have had our tonsils removed. Some of us had an appendix removed. Some of us have had our gallbladder removed. Hopefully none of us have had our brain removed. But anyway, the fact of the matter is, where are they? They're gone. And the same thing is true with our sins. And I like the song. It says, on the cross he sealed my pardon, paid my debt, and made me free. Wow. Happiness is to have your sins forgiven and the guilt removed. And again, one of my favorite songs to sing at the Lord's table time when we remember what the Lord has done, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stain. Happiness comes from the result of being saved. And so my question to you is Jesus Christ your Savior? There would be no better thing to do than close out this year by calling upon the name of the Lord and being saved. I remind you that happiness is not dependent upon events, but on our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm thinking of a verse in Habakkuk. Habakkuk, a little verse, happy is the man who can find Habakkuk by the time I read it from the notes. But Habakkuk had a really, really difficult life. Circumstances in his life were not good. And he says this in Habakkuk 3:17. So if you're expecting your happiness to come from outward circumstances, you're going to have a problem. You need the peace of God that passes all understanding. And Habakkuk says, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vine. So they're not going to have food. Fig tree's not blooming and to have figs, and the grapevines, it says, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. So, man, I went through the plague. It is not fun. Some of you are facing life-threatening things. But don't gain your happiness from that. Habakkuk says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the Lord. It says the God, I will joy in the God. There it is. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Habakkuk had no reason to be happy from an outward worldly system's viewpoint, yet he had been rejoicing in the Lord. Now, I'm not denying the fact, when I was the sickest there, I was pretty low. And yet, God reminded me that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. And whenever it is that I take my last breath on earth, I'm going to rejoice with him in heaven. Aren't you thankful that you're saved? I rejoice in that. So if you're going to have a happy new year, you do need to be sure of your salvation. Number two, serve the Lord with gladness. A little song says there's joy in serving Jesus. The verse that I'm using is Psalm 100, verse 2. It says, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. You know what? Sometimes we get overwhelmed, but we're reminded, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. There's no better investment that you can make than serving the Lord Jesus Christ. None. Because, I'll tell you what, I went to renew Linda's and my CD at the bank this week. What do we get, 0.04 interest or 0.02 or something like that? I mean, it's hardly worth it. Yeah, they don't let us go inside, so we're stuck there in the line. And I started coming around, and there was only one car. I thought, oh, great. But they have one line that they do the serious stuff in. And by the time I got there, there's four other cars. And by the time you wait, so I get 0.04 interest on my CD. Woo! I'll tell you what, though. It's a whole different story when you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. You have treasure laid up for you. Christians who serve the Lord, listen to me now, can't fully experience the joy of the Lord if they are not in the will of God, though. You need to be in the will of God. One preacher says, the misery cannot be measured of a man outside the will of God. There's so many Christians who are living outside the will of God, and you know what? They're miserable. We'll address that in another point in a minute, but you will never experience real happiness until you begin living for the Lord and serving him. I'm reminded of what Jesus saved us for. You know, why did Jesus leave here? Why did Jesus leave us here? Why didn't he just save us and then take us home to heaven? Well, I'll tell you why. He didn't decide on a regular basis to use donkeys to proclaim his word of God, though sometimes we act like them. He didn't choose to, as a regular basis, use angels to proclaim the word of God. He could have proclaimed it himself because God from heaven said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. But in all of my life, I have never heard a voice from heaven thundering out for me to give me direction. But what he has done is chosen to use us as ambassadors. That's why we're here. I've been looking at Jeremiah, thinking about a message, and it talks about the prophet is dying, and the prophet asks the man to go and get a bow, and he says, shoot another arrow. Shoot another arrow. You know, I know that a bunch of you have shot arrows this past year. I understand that, either verbally or, in my case, on the radio or gospel tracks going out on Thursday. But you don't just have to wait for Thursday. We'll be doing that again. But I encourage you to get a handful of tracks and shoot some other arrows this coming year in 2021. Excuse me. Because there's people still lost. And we are, as it clearly says in the Word of God, we are ambassadors for Christ. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 20. So what's the job of an ambassador? An ambassador is to carry the message of the sovereign who sent him or her. It's not to carry our own message. It isn't to bring our own interpretation. An ambassador is one who carries the message of the Lord God. You know, our Lord calls us to be always abounding in the service of the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 15:58 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast. You know, I expect, I hope not, but I expect with the new administration getting in, there's going to be more persecution and more harassment of Christians. I really do. If they can shut down more churches, they'll shut down more churches. If they can curtail our freedoms, they'll do it. We need to be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding. That means keep on keeping on, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Your service to the Lord last year, praise God, but don't live on your laurels. Serve the Lord in 2021. Shoot another arrow. Shoot a quiverful. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. If you're living for the Lord and serving the Lord, God will bless you. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 7 and 8, it says this, with good will doing service, as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, now listen to this, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether you be bond or free, regardless of who you are, regardless of your station in life, serving the Lord will make you happy if you're living in his will. There is joy in serving Jesus. Number three. If you want to be happy in 2021, study and obey the Word of God. You know, God expects us to get into His Word. Now, there's a real reason for that. As I mentioned to you earlier, I've never had God come thundering or even whispering in my ear. But you know how that God talks to us? Through His Word, I've had the Holy Spirit bring specific passages to my mind when I'm trying to make a decision or when I'm... And that's what God... We talk to God through prayer, but God talks to us through His Word. And you know what? God can't talk to you very much if the only input from the Word of God you get is on a Sunday. You know, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of, cutting it straight, rightly dividing the word of truth. God expects us to be in His Word. And I'm going to do it to you again. The Bible says all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. In other words, the Bible tells us what's right, what's not right, how to get right, and how to stay right. That's why we need to be in the Word of God. D.L. Moody said, "The Bible will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the Bible." I've got to work on some of this, but we must set aside time to read it, and I do. And I set aside time to study it. And then we not only need to read and study it, but we need to meditate on it. Take it apart in our mind. Take a passage of Scripture, memorize that passage of Scripture, and then take it apart in your mind and see how it applies to you. So we need to set time to read it, study it, and meditate on it, memorize it. And then the toughest one, the toughest one is to apply it to our lives. That's the toughest one. Make no doubt about it. James 1:25 says this, "But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work of what's told in there," look at this, "this man shall be blessed in his deed." God will bring joy. God will bring happiness. The other day, I'm sitting there and I have something hanging out of the corner of my mouth. I didn't know it, but she caught it. So, you know, take care of it. But here's what the Bible does for us. The Bible's like a mirror. It says, looking into the mirror of God's Word involves an obligation. When you look into the mirror, the perfect law of liberty is called, and you see that you don't measure up, what should you do? You should take care of the dirt that you see in your life. You see, that's talking about obeying God's word. Thy word is a lamp unto thy feet, a light unto thy path, and if you hide its words in your heart, you'll not sin against the Lord. So I would encourage you, if you want to be happy in your Christian life, that you study the word of God, that you meditate on it, that you memorize it, that you apply it to your life, and that you be a hearer of the word and not only a doer, because then if you're just a hearer and not a doer, then you're deceiving your own self, it says in James chapter 1, verse 22. Now, when we study and surrender to God's word, it transforms our minds. We will do what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. If you know it, you don't need to turn there. "I beseech you therefore, brethren," Romans 12, 1 and 2, "by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world." Don't let the world squish you into this mold. "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove or demonstrate what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." That's the outcome of studying God's word. Studying God's word, it changes you. And we are blessed. I want you to think about that in the context of Psalm 1, 1 through 3. Listen to it or repeat it with me if you know, but "blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Catch this now. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. You know, it's interesting. It says his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. What do you think about in those free times of the day? What do you occupy your mind with during those times? Sadly for me, sometimes, a lot of the time, it's not the things of the Word of God. You worry about a lot of other things, or at least I do. I think about what is going to happen with COVID in this coming year. And so you can screw your mind around and you think of what's going on in the news. And it occupies your mind. You know, there's a very, very minimal value to a lot of that. If we want to be blessed, we meditate in the Word of God in those free times. I don't do it often, and that's on me. But I ask you to think about yourself and think about what's going on. You know, far too many times, too, I find myself, and I know better, and I've taught you better, but I find myself worrying about things. Let me just tell you, worrying is wasted energy. It accomplishes nothing. But by everything with prayer and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And so what I'm saying to you, you know, if we keep ourselves in the Word of God, God promises that we will have inner happiness. I'm thinking of what I read in Proverbs 29:18, the last part of the verse. It says, "He that keepeth the law, happy is he." Well, there's a fourth thing. Safeguard yourself from and resist temptation. Safeguard yourself from temptation and resist temptation. It's not the last one. There's another one after that. But temptation, let me just tell you something. To every single solitary one of you, myself included, there's going to be temptation crosses our path this year. This is going to come. The devil and his forces of darkness are not going to let up at all. If you think that you're safe, you're living an illusion, because our adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. That means for me, that means for you, and for every other believer. He wants to knock us off the tracks. He has a concerted effort. He wants to knock us off the tracks. He wants to make us blaspheme the name of Jesus Christ. He wants to destroy our Christian testimonies. And so he is going to do everything that he can. And one of the key things that he uses is the old man, our sinful flesh. You know, James 1:13-15 says, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man." So where does it come from? Well, let's look at verse 14. "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lusts." That's talking about sinful desires. That's just not a sexual thing. Talking about our sinful desires, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life, okay? "Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lusts and enticed." It's very interesting. That means to catch with bait. You know, the devil knows what bait that we respond to. He knows what lures to use, because we have a sin that doth so what? Easily beset us, okay? Every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Now, if we take the bait, it says, and when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth what? Sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. What does that mean? Well, it means you can have your testimony destroyed. I'm just thinking of a letter that I read today. I don't know exactly how I got on their mailing list, but how many of you have heard the name of the apologist, Ravi Zacharias? Okay. He died just recently, and his ministry sent out a letter saying that Dr. Zacharias had been involved in sexual sin for quite some time. That's a tragedy. That's a tragedy. But that's the deal. When lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. Another source of temptation, I want you to be careful about this. Another source of temptation is our unsaved friends. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, the evil companions corrupt good morals. And that's my paraphrase of that. But that's true. Evil companions do corrupt good morals. Now, I believe that we need to try and reach unsaved people for Christ. So I believe that you need to make friendships with unsaved people, but for a specific purpose. That is to try and lead them to the Lord Jesus Christ. You do not want to get tangled up in their philosophies. You do not want to get tangled up in their activities. You do not want to get yourself so twisted around. I mean, Jesus never went into a brothel to try and lead prostitutes to the Lord Jesus Christ. He met them where they were at in a public place. I just want to say, friendships for the purpose of trying to lead people to the Lord Jesus Christ. But Proverbs warned, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. You need to be careful. You need to be, you know, sometimes when you get real close friends with unsaved people, they make the world look pretty good. I have been friends with a person, and he has unsaved friends, and yet this one unsaved friend, I was over at their condo, and he tried to entice me to drink. I said, I'm not interested in that at all, and if you guys are going to get involved in this and start getting drunk, and I'm just going to head back to my motel room. You know, just be careful of your friendships. Yes, try and reach unsaved people for Christ, but Proverbs chapter 4, 14 through 18 says this, enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil man. Look at this. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it. Pass away. Just go completely away from it. Now look at this. There's some people, and I've told you the story of the woman who tried to get me. She came to the former church that I was at and offered to be the secretary. And my wife said, I don't feel good about that. Why don't you offer her your portable typewriter that you had in college and let her take the stuff home? And so that's what I did. That lasted for a very short time. She decided she couldn't do it that way, and then she disappeared from attendance at the church. Over a year later, she'd nailed the preacher just down the road. He got involved immorally with her. And so, for they sleep not except they have done mischief. Don't think that there aren't tares among the wheat. She professed to be a believer. And their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. I like the last part. Resist all that stuff because it says the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Christians who are involved in sin are not happy. The most miserable Christians that I've ever known are Christians who are out of fellowship with God. The Holy Spirit convicts them of sin. But if you're there, the power of God can give you the empowerment to resist the devil. And if you resist the devil, he has to flee from you. That's not what I say. That's what James chapter 4, verse 7 and 8 says. Our Lord promises to help us through the temptations and trials of life if we draw near to him. You know 1 Corinthians 10:13. It says, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer or allow you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape. That doesn't mean he'll pull you out of it, but he'll make a way of escape if fleeing to him, that ye may be able to bear it. You know, the happy Christian is one that endures temptation and comes out victorious. How do I know? Well, he is not only rewarded here, but he's rewarded in the hereafter. James chapter 1 and verse 12 says, blessed or happy is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. If you want to be a happy Christian, then you want to make sure you safeguard yourself and resist temptation. Finally, watch for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Luke 12:37, blessed, or if you would, happy, are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, find watching. Oh, can we say we are ready, brother? You know, I'm watching for the rapture. I'll tell you what, maybe it's this year, maybe it's not, but I'm expecting the Lord's return. Are you looking for his return? Luke says, blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, find watching. I'm reminded again of the song, oh, can we say we are ready, brother, ready for the soul's bright home? Say, will he find you and me still watching, waiting, watching when the Lord shall come? I mean, the happenings in the United States, the happenings in the Middle East, in Russia and Syria and China, man, oh, man, I'll tell you what, it makes it more likely than ever before. The situation is when you really expect the rapture to come, when you really expect the rapture to come, it will change your daily lifestyle. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 through 3, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, because we're going to get our glorified bodies. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. We'll get our immortal bodies, never to die again. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And then it says this in verse 3, and every man that hath this hope in him purify himself even as he is pure. You know what happens when we're raptured? Guess where we go? To the Bema Seat of Judgment for rewards or the lack of rewards. Our sins have been cared for, but it has to do with our service. I want you to think about that passage. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. A loose social life, if you're a believer, proves that you're not looking for Jesus, really. Living in unconfessed sin proves that you're not looking for Jesus, and the list could go on. Are you looking for Jesus? What if he would come this afternoon at 1 o'clock? What would you change if he really... Nobody knows a day or hour, I understand that, but I mean, we as believers who will be raptured, we're going to give account to God. I'm going to give account. You're going to give account to God. Are you ready, believers? Well, will 2021 be a happy year for you? I'm not talking about the outward stuff. We're all going to face junk in 2021. Don't let the happenings of man or the corruption of the governmental system determine whether or not you're happy. Yeah, I believe that the election was stolen. But you know what? I'm not going to allow that to affect my genuine happiness, because that's an outward thing. I said right at the beginning, true happiness, inner happiness, does not come from happenings. It comes from a heart that is at peace with God. Determine if your heart is right with God, and if you're pursuing biblical happiness. Biblical happiness is knowing Christ for your Savior, as your Savior. It includes serving the Lord with gladness. It is studying and obeying God's word. It is safeguarding yourself from and resisting temptation. And it is watching for the return of Jesus. If you have your notes, turn over to the back page. I'd like you to read out loud with me the two passages of Scripture there as we close. Isaiah 26:3. Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Philippians 4:7. But the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.